This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, hour number three, out of bounds. William Quagamos, Ben Milstead with you. Thanks for joining us here on the program. This hour brought to you by our friends at Grass Nerds. They sponsor our Nerd Alert segments, but that's not all. We love being partners with Grass Nerds because they know how to get your lawn right. Point blank, period. They know how to get your lawn right. Not just, you know, lawns like yours, and that's a very big distinction. They want to personalize their treatment plan for your lawn. So we're talking about things like a soil sample analysis. There are three different levels of treatments you can get, and then there's extra credit you can dump in there to get your lawn looking absolutely brilliant. The difference when you work with Grass Nerds is outrageous. The customer service is tremendous because they're local. They're right here. They're people just like you. They just want to have good lawns. Their commitment to excellence, second to none. Their commitment to the bit, second to none, because they show up in suspenders and thick-rimmed glasses, which I just think is awesome. For more, go to the website, grassnerds.com. That is grassnerds.com. You know, text from the 864, this goes back to the point. It says, as a Penn State fan, I have the exact same concerns and frustrations with the offense as you discuss with Clemson. And if there's one thing that you can pull out of Saturday, I think big picture, it's like, and I, again, we're looking at the biggest game of the day, overtime game. Wouldn't you rather have Dante Moore than Drew Aller? Let me ask you this: Would Penn State trade Dante Moore for Drew Aller right now, if they could?
Yeah, probably.
It's a little bit of a loaded question because Dante Moore just won the game. I mean, so there's a little bit of weirdness in that.
But with talking about Penn State and Clemson, though, everything that we thought we knew about football coming into this season, you would have said Clemson and Penn State are the two schools who are not going to have – who should not have issues on offense when it comes to the rhythm of the offense and the timing and trusting players – two experienced quarterbacks returning a ton of production in both rooms, and yet they are the two that when you turn on the TV and watch either of those teams, they are struggling with similar type things. Albeit Clemson's is much worse than Penn State's has been, but you know, and if I'm a Penn State fan, I'm thinking, okay, well, Drew Aller was really not good for a lot of that game, but he did lead us back and tie the game up, and he had, you know, at least a portion of that fourth quarter where he was money, man. He all of a sudden turned into a great quarterback. You know, the interception in overtime was unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is. So if you're Penn State, you're hoping. You're kind of hoping like what Clemson did last year, let's say, with Clemson in Texas. You saw one half of football and convinced and hoped that was going to carry over and that was the turning point for Cade Klubnik.
No, you're 100% right.
If I'm a Penn State fan today, that's what I'm hoping from the fourth quarter Saturday night.
That's right. It goes back to what we talked about yesterday with hope. That's, you know, sometimes hope is exactly what you need. Texas from the Agency Force says, I propose Clemson, Penn State just trade quarterbacks. Change of scenery. We're tired of our guy. They're tired of their guy. Who says no? Look, I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's that simple. Now, might that help based on the evidence that we've seen? Perhaps. Perhaps it will. I do think it is interesting, though. If you look at Clemson's season, and if you look at the, you know, after game one against LSU, you could say, well, Garrett Nussmeier was a better quarterback. But he's been in their system, too. And he's an older guy, like a better NFL prospect and whatever. Like, he just was better. Okay, that's fine. It's game one. Then you go to the Georgia Tech game, and Haynes King's better. And you're going, okay, well, Haynes King's been in that system. The guy's a freaking warrior, tough as nails. You know, he's like the epitome of their identity as a program. He's born for this, you know, whatever. You can explain that one away. Then you go to the Syracuse game, and it's like, oh, Steve Angeli didn't have a spring at Syracuse. Steve Angeli couldn't win the starting quarterback job at Notre Dame and wasn't going to over a guy who's never started before. And so then you start going, okay, well, all the things that we said about Haynes King are not true. All things we said about Garrett Nussmeier aren't true. So, again, that leads you down this what I'll call the path of discovery. I'm not counting the Troy game. Sorry. People are like, oh, don't forget Goose Crowder. You know, who can forget Goose Crowder? What a name. I'm not counting that game. That game was dumb. In watch every the, way, that was dumb.
Watch the canopy.
God.
Sorry.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. One thing from the press conference today that I'm a little surprised people – I felt pretty certain how people would react to most things. One thing that I'm seeing negative reaction about on the Adams Corping text line and on my Twitter account is the idea that Dabo says the program is fine, but it's the football coaching that's a failure. Now, again, I'm taking away that Dabo is saying we have totally failed as coaches. I said before the bye week, you'd be crazy to think that they go status quo would go into North Carolina, whatever that means. Well, it turns out Dabo agrees, because if you're calling something a, what did he say? What was his quote? A coaching failure, and then he says total coaching failure later in the press conference, then that means you're going to make some changes. And yet I see people on my timeline saying, well, no changes. They're not making any changes. Just Dabo doubling down. I'm thinking, wait a minute, what is this? I think people have bristled at the notion that the football stuff and the program stuff are separate. And it goes back to something I said before, where I think if your priors are, basically, if you are hate listening to Dabo's press conference, then he is going to confirm your priors, because he is going to say certain things. And there is a group of Clemson fans that believe that Dabo doesn't care about winning and he only cares about graduating people and molding young men. And you know what? There's some evidence that Dabo really cares about graduating people and molding young men. What I heard from the press conference is that the football stuff matters, too. If I really think if you go back and listen to this press conference and you're upset about the differentiating between program stuff and football stuff, and you just blacked out whenever he tried to separate those things because you just really disagreed, I think if you will listen again with an open mind, you will hear him say what fans have been wanting him to say for weeks, which is that the football stuff does matter and that the program, the off-field stuff, doesn't automatically fix the football stuff. Because isn't that kind of the tenor of some of the fan conversation? Is like, well, Dabo, we love that you mold young men, but that doesn't make it better football. But we need to get better at football stuff. I don't think that's what he said today. In fact, I think the fact that he separated it should be good news for people who thought that Dabo was leaning more into the program side and less to the football side of things.
Yeah, and I do think fans have a hard time understanding when he's talking about football and when he's talking about the program. And I understand why it's that way.
Yeah, I'm not blaming fans for that part. Yeah.
But I also think Coach Sweeney has a hard time separating the criticism of football and mistaking that for criticism of the program.
Totally agree. That's good.
And because when he gets defensive, he doesn't get as defensive when you ask about a particular player or something like that. He gets defensive, in my opinion, more often when it can be perceived that you're talking about everything is broken and the program is broken. And that's I think that is what irritates him the most. And maybe and that's on him, under, you know, knowing what to be defensive about.
I agree with that. Yes. I do think he takes the professional commentary personally when he doesn't have to. Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is that, I mean, all the program-related stuff that he mentions are, I mean, that's important and it's admirable. But the reality is fans want to talk about the football right now. If we don't care about that right now. I don't want it to change, and it is important, and I fully acknowledge everything that's that might be as successful as anybody in the country in those types of things. That's not what people want to talk about when you are 1-3.
Right. Or the championships that you used to win, which, yeah, again, that's where the dial goes down to zero.
People want to know, how are you fixing the football this weekend? And we're not going to, you know, you're not going to get those answers. But when you divert to the program stuff, I don't know. It just doesn't come across. I don't think it comes across the way that he wants that to come across.
Don't you think that there is – we'll go to the phones here in a second. Don't you think that that's as close as Dabo's going to get to doing what you just described?
Yeah.
Is separate, making sure to verbally separate the program part is fine. We're not going to stop graduating players or stop molding young men or stop talking about faith and all this stuff. But we are going to acknowledge that the other stuff is broken. When he calls it a coaching failure, that's what he's saying, that it is broken. We have done a terrible job as coaches preparing these players for the football stuff.
I also am reminded that in Brandon Streeter's last year here, he said a lot of the same things, and you and I fielded a million phone calls about, we've got to make a change at offensive coordinator. It's just not working. And people were convinced Dabo was stubborn and never going to make a change. And then he hires the offensive coordinator that just played in the national championship game. So my point is, he's not going to just come right out and say that in a press conference this week. He's going to keep saying these same kind of things. Are you going to make a staff change? He's not going to say yes or no to that. He's not going to give you a definitive answer. Because in some cases, he probably doesn't know after four games. But just pointing out, like, he said the same type of stuff before every other time he actually did make a change.
Correct.
I'm not talking about necessarily Riley. I'm talking about any of the coaches.
Listen, Dabo Swinney, and I'm going to put words in his mouth for a second, because you're right, he didn't say that. Dabo Swinney knows he's going to make a staff change after the season. You don't say what he said today.
Yeah.
He's giving the people he hired 2 months to change his mind.
Oh, you're right.
And I don't know who I don't know who it is. Because like I said, he's made complimentary statements about Garrett Riley's play design and play calls. But he said, we got to better equip the quarterback. That's on Garrett Riley. We know how he feels about the running back rotations. That's on your running back coach. We know how he feels about the wide receivers coach and the corners not being tough enough and the edge not being tough enough and the linebackers taking poor angles. We're talking about across the board, run the gamut. I don't think there's any position coach that he feels real good about right now. Warm and fuzzy.
I think there's two coaches, period, on the roster that might be – that I think are safe.
Okay.
Outside of that, I mean, Tom Allen, certainly safe.
Tom Allen's safe.
Matt Luke, I think, is safe.
Yep, I agree with that.
Everybody else, you better get better.
I would say, and I don't know how Dabo feels, Bulwer just got there. It's year one. You're replacing a fired coach. Chris Rumpf, similar deal. I'm not saying they're doing a great job, but I'm saying those guys have a little bit less accountability than guys who've been able to build their room a little bit,
yeah,
from a personnel standpoint. But I agree with you about those two. No question, those two. Let's go to Brett and Pendleton, who's up with us next. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to join him. What's up, Brett?
Hey, how's it going today?
No good, man. Thanks for getting in.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I listened to the press conference, and, you know, I've listened to, like you guys, obviously a lot of press conferences he's given over the years, and I thought today was probably the most accountability he's really ever taken in a press conference, especially as it related to coaching, like Monday to Friday type coaching. That's what I heard. And I would agree with him. I mean, I think that's – I don't think it's a program problem. I agree with everything he said about that. Like, I think the program is what it should be. I think the priorities are right. I know people bicker back and forth about, you know, maybe going to portal more and all that kind of stuff. But I think he's correct in saying that this is not a program problem. He's got a strong program, a great culture. You know, he's got an opportunity to prove that if this team comes out and wins six or seven or, you know, these last eight games, that's actually proof of what he's saying, because in today's day, if you didn't have a good program, these guys would quit, and it would be like Florida State last year. You know, they'd be a two-win team or a three-win team. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll bounce back and play well. But he did talk about coaching, and, you know, it's my perspective that just the last 4 or 5 years, Clemson has – and I'm not going to call out anybody's names. I mean, it's a tough profession, but I think they've declined – in almost every position from when they were championship level football as it relates to coaching. I mean, from behind the scenes to, you know, various different roles to coordinator positions. And in today's day, you know, college football, when it pertains to coaching, you have a different kind of carousel than you do in the NFL. We always talk about the NFL carousel and how the same guys, even when they fail at a job, go get another job. So in college, I think a lot of it is who your last name is and if you played college football. And that those two things just give guys the opportunity to get these jobs, and they may not be the greatest at their work when you have a lot of other people who maybe didn't actually play college football or don't have the last name that matches up with a dad who coached in previous generations. It makes it a much harder profession to break into, even though some of the best coaches did not play. And some of the best coaches, I even think out there today, don't have a last name that's recognizable in the college football landscape. But what you continue to see is a lot of coaches just kind of get these jobs, and then, you know, the proof's in the pudding, and the results are right there in front of you. And so today, he said a lot today, in my opinion. You know, if I haven't been online, I've been busy. But, you know, if people are saying same old, same old, I mean, that's not what I heard. I didn't hear the same old, same old. I heard him say some pretty strong things. I mean, right?
I agree with you, Brett. I appreciate the phone call. Everybody gets a break. Thanks, man. Great to hear from you.
Good call, Brett.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I got more thoughts on that on the other side. Hour three of the program continues right after this.
The Tigers don't start the season without practice, and neither should your HVAC system. Get the Blue Ridge Heating and Air Tiger Tune-Up Special now and save over $100. Expert service, just $89, boosts efficiency, prevents breakdowns, and extends your system's life. They'll even clean your outdoor coils if they're dirty. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air today, a preferred Armstrong Air dealer, and mention Tiger Tune-Up for the $89 offer. That's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education, and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having a Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in spray foam, blown-in, bat insulation, attic ventilation and air sealing, and crawl space insulation and encapsulations. Triple your savings with Koala Insulation of Greenville. Lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits through December 31st. Call today, 864-867-1779, and find out what you can save.
Hi, everybody. I'm Don Munson, and up next is your Clemson Daily Update, presented by BASF. Hey, Tiger fans, want to join another winning team? Join the hundreds of BASF employees creating team chemistry every day at BASF in Seneca. Starting pay is $24 an hour with more for experience. BASF offers rewarding careers, top-tier benefits, and opportunities for growth. Apply now at www.basf.com/Seneca. That's www.basf.com/Seneca. BASF in Seneca, we create chemistry. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clemson will be traveling to Chapel Hill this Saturday for a meeting against the North Carolina Tar Heels, the 61st all-time meeting on the gridiron between Clemson and North Carolina. It'll be the first matchup, though, between Clemson's Dabo Swinney and North Carolina's Bill Belichick. The contest will represent only the second time in college football history that a coach with multiple FBS national championships as a head coach faces one with multiple Super Bowl titles as a head coach. The lone other qualifying matchup in history actually happened on New Year's Day 1993 when Bill Walsh, a three-time Super Bowl champion with the San Francisco 49ers and then head coach at Stanford, went up against two-time national champion Joe Paterno and the Nittany Lions of Penn State in the Blockbuster Bowl. Overall, Clemson is 1-0 all-time against Super Bowl-winning head coaches. On January the 2nd, 1989, Danny Ford's Tigers ended the collegiate career of Oklahoma's Barry Switzer with a 13-6 victory in the Citrus Bowl. Switzer, of course, would later go on to win a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 30, as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Action for us on Network Lines will start at 9 o'clock. Hope that you'll be able to join us from Chapel Hill. As always, go Tigers!
Coach Saban here. On the field or on your walls, coverage matters. That's why I go with Behr Marquee Interior Paint and Primer from the Home Depot.
Exceptional hide, advanced stain blocking, and over 1,000 colors to choose from. Behr Marquee delivers one coat coverage that stands up to real life. One coat coverage, no overtime. Behr Marquee, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Behr Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Collection.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for football all season long.
This is big boy football.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Ben, I got great news.
Best news of the day.
You remember when you said you thought you knew where this was going, and then I took it a different direction?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go there right now because Tarek Skubal has
– We're going to talk underdog here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
8 strikeouts through 5. Gavin Williams has 7 strikeouts through 5, and that means, ladies and gentlemen, your boy has cashed.
Why do I think that everything is – eventually coming back to underdog.
You know what? Because it is. Because it's the best way to play daily fantasy. Because, I mean, I save my best transitions for underdog, baby, for a reason. Listen, I'm feeling myself right now. Padres-Cubs starting in 30 minutes. I'm not sure what I'm going to play, but I know it's going to win. Download the app today. You can play with me. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18-plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing. Get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. Ben, I agree with almost everything that Brett said right there. And I've talked about this before, and this is like – this is coming from personal – this is personal anecdotes. This is being around the program. This is being in the same age group as a lot of the people involved. When Clemson was going to the playoff in the national championship game, the national championship games, there was an army of back-of-office people that made
– Sorry.
That's okay. I know what you're looking at. I think I know what you're looking at.
Texas said, Quag just won $4.37 on a 75-cent wager.
You know,
dinner's on that guy.
Wendy's $8 junior bacon cheeseburger meal. Two junior bacon cheeseburgers, medium fry, medium drink.
You can have half of a bacon cheeseburger.
Anderson O'Connor Pickens, neighborhood Wendy's. Yeah, I'll pay for your $8 JBC meal. Give me that. We just did two live reads in one. Bada bing. How about that? There was an army of back of house people that did a lot of legwork. And like when I was actually thinking about this today. You know, Dabo was talking about the last time they went to Chapel Hill in 2019 and, you know, Chad Smith with the two-point conversion stop and all that. Do you remember the story about that play that Brent Venables just randomly before the game, like the night before, the morning before the game, was like, hey, he was just telling his linebackers, like, hey, you know, I was watching this game from like years ago and they ran this play and he tells them about it and it's literally the exact same play. It was a two-point play or a goal line play or something. And he literally just was grinding film. Do you know why Brent Venables can just grind random film like that? It's because he had a million staffers back of house that were incredibly valuable in laying the foundation for that offense. Not working as much with players, but information gathering and dealing with recruits to some degree and making life easier for position coaches. Those guys are now staffers or assistant coaches at other programs. Brent Venables, Tony Elliott, Jeff Scott took a lot of those people with them. And there was a brain drain that happened when those three guys left. From your analysts, your GAs, back of how, like, you know, the managers and things like that graduated. Strength and conditioning, that staff sort of got filtered out. And I think it's fair to ask, how did they fill those positions? There are a lot of folks who go, well, you don't need this many positions. I would argue they do need this many positions, but maybe people didn't know or appreciate the value of the people in those positions when, as Brett said, they didn't know their names. There are staffers. If you follow these people on Instagram, you know there are staffers in big jobs at Virginia, at Oklahoma. There were staffers on the field and in the sort of player relations type positions or the other off field positions at South Florida. These are people that were integral to the Chad Morris, Tony Elliott, Jeff Scott, Brent Venables experience at Clemson. And they went to these bigger jobs. And it's fair to wonder if there are guys here now that are just at that level. And I'm not telling you, I'm not making excuses here, but I do wonder if it is uncommon to have that many very qualified people in low-level positions at one time, if that is the norm in college football. And if losing all of those people doesn't have some negative consequence. So that is a thing that a lot of people did not see. And I know I've brought it up from time to time. And it does seem, I mean, I know we've even gotten some questions on today. Tiger Illustrated put out the full list of salaries of the people in the building, in the football building, yesterday. And there are people who are very upset about that. And I would just tell you that there are people that used to have those titles that if you had seen them in 2014, you would have said they don't need that. But I guarantee you they needed that position in 2015, and they needed it in 2016, and they needed it in 2017, and they needed it in 2018. And those guys were so good at their jobs that they moved on to bigger and better things. And that's what Brett is talking about there, is that it's hard to get in those positions just to get a leg up if you don't have the name or you don't have the pedigree. And there are some guys who didn't have name or pedigree that have had to go the hard way through college football, either off-field jobs or lower levels or, like, moving around. And it's just part of the business that you have to deal with. It's not something that is sexy to talk about. It's not something that's easy pickings. But it is something that, I would argue, it's something that Chad Morris had the benefit of that I'm not sure if Garrett Riley has a benefit of right now. Is that many, like, super qualified people in those positions. So I'll just throwing that out there for the people. Just throwing it out there. Anyway, 654-ROAR is the number, 654-7627. If you'd like to join us in our final 20, 25 minutes of the program today. Was there anything else, Ben, that you noted? I wrote down a few other things. Anything else that stood out to you from Dabo's press conference today that we haven't discussed yet?
Not really.
I was trying to think. You know, one thing that it I'll admit, I was ready to be mad about it. And, in fact, I'll be fully transparent. I was ready to be mad about it off the air because I thought it would be uncomfortable if I was mad about it on the air. And after further reflection, I understand why it was said. It rubbed me the thing that rubbed me the wrongest today from the press conference is when Dabo was asked if he sought advice from anybody after the 1-3 start, and he said, the man upstairs, that's the only advice I need. I did not like that. I wrote it down. I wrote it down with a frowny face, Ben.
Oh, you didn't frowny face
it. I did not like it. And the reason I did not like it is because I think there are other coaches on this campus that are handling the modern environment in a way that I think Dabo could learn from. Just based on what I know about this program and what I know about their programs. And I think it would be beneficial for him to ask some questions. And I think it's hard for two reasons. One, because people have been asking Dabo questions for 15 years. You know, like Dabo's not going to Texas to learn from Mack Brown anymore. Dabo has built a program that has been the envy of college football for more than a decade. And it is very difficult. Internally, I think it's very difficult in your mind to go from being the one that sought out to seeking out. To feeling like you have answers that other people need to, maybe I don't have answers. I think that is much more difficult than people sitting at home who don't make as much money as Dabo or don't have the influence of Dabo does. I think any of us would have a hard time flipping that. I would say in addition to that, that is not something that I think is super beneficial if you're trying to steer the ship in the middle of the season. Like I think what Dabo said after that, he said, what did I write down? This might have been a little bit earlier. We ain't building rockets here. This is not that complicated. So I think what he's basically saying is like the problems that we have are easily identifiable. Now what I would say is I think he could ask about how do we more effectively get to solutions. I think he could do that. But I don't know that any leader is really going to do that when you have a game coming up in 2 weeks and you just need to find a way to beat North Carolina. Like, I feel like those are more off-season questions. So I'm okay with – I've come around on this approach. I was mad about it. I was frustrated with it. I think if he's still saying that in January, I'm not on board with it. But right now, you're just trying to find a way to shepherd this team to 2-3. That's all you're trying to do. Any thoughts on Ben? Did you notice that comment today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I noticed all of those, and it's funny. I hear them, and then I immediately think, okay, how is everybody else going to interpret this? What's the worst possible way to interpret this? And I'm not saying people are necessarily wrong about that. You just have to be aware that at a time like this, we are going to interpret things in the worst way. And some people heard him say, well, I don't need anybody else's help. I already know it all. The only one that knows more about it than me is God. And I'm not so sure God cares what tempo you run in on offense. I mean, I'm just not, you know.
I do.
Bible says pray for the small things.
Without ceasing is what it says.
Yep, and believe me, said a lot of prayers, but I don't know how involved he is in, four wide versus split backs versus
But see, here's the thing: I don't know that Dabo's gonna like call a coach and be like, "Hey, tell me about four wides versus split backs versus all that stuff."
Well,
like,
none of them do that in the middle of the season,
right? And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's why I think I'm okay with it. Right now. I'm okay with it right now. What people heard, to your point, and I don't think they were wrong to hear it, is that Dabo's stubborn. This is stubborn Dabo here. But I don't think it might end up being true, but I don't think we can for sure say that now, because to me, it would be hard to feel so sure in everything you're doing if it has been working and now it's not. Like, Dabo's not an idiot, okay? Dabo is like everybody. Like, it would be, listen, if they're going to build a statue for you, pride is going to creep in some. But I don't think pride makes you an idiot, okay? Like, Dabo's not dumb. He knows that if he's saying it's a coaching failure, he doesn't think that he doesn't need help. He doesn't think that there are not things that he can seek advice for. I just wonder if it's the wisest approach to be, you know, calling around, doing a phone bang, a 24-hour phone-a-thon to try to figure out what's wrong with your football team from other coaches in the middle of all of your seasons.
Texture said, when I was a kid and got an F on a report card, my parents didn't care that I read my Bible that morning. I still got in trouble.
It's true. It's true. There are a lot of days I prayed a lot in the morning, and I was terrible by the afternoon. Like, there's a lot of days where that's true.
And they probably did care, but it doesn't change the grade of the F.
But am I being too – I think we're on the same page on this. Am I being too dismissive of this on my second glance and my second read of it?
I just don't – I don't want to come across – well, I don't know how to say what I want to say, so I'm just not going to say it. How about that?
It's not. He's not.
I defer the rest of my time to the gentleman from Clemson.
Listen, I don't think Dabo is big picture as obstinate as you probably heard in that one statement today.
Yeah.
That's the way I would say it. I don't know that to be sure.
Just pay attention to the other statements in addition to that.
Yes, yeah. I would agree. I felt like I needed to say that because it was the frowny face comment of the day. Before our final segment, let me tell you about Phoenix Center. You know, we're talking about decision-making. Dabo and his All-In Foundation, where we're of course, going to partner with them for Tigers for Tata starting tomorrow. They have done a great job equipping our teens, our young people, to try to stiff-arm, to try to eschew the allure of drugs, alcohol, and vaping as young people, and that's where the Phoenix Center comes in, because these conversations are hard, and they are clunky, and they are awkward, and they don't have to be, because you can weave these themes in to all of your conversation all throughout your week, all throughout your month, all throughout your year, and the Phoenix Center is helping with that. They have useful tools and helpful tips to be able to make that happen for you. Go online, phoenixcenter.org, check out our resources, phoenixcenter.org/resources. Final segment of the program. We'll go to the phones and take a phone call or two right after this.
Sitting here today with our good friend, Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. Everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security do not call. As Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
Don't wait for your HVAC to break down. Keep it running strong with a maintenance plan from Estes Heating and Air. Their expert technicians make sure your system is running efficiently year-round, helping you avoid surprise repairs and high energy bills. With priority service and peace of mind, it's comfort you can count on. Call Estes Heating and Air today or visit estesheatingair.com to schedule your maintenance check today. Estes Heating and Air, your comfort is their priority.
Contractors, we know what it takes to build something great. Long days, hard work, and the right materials. At Harbin Lumber Company, we're here to make sure you've got everything you need to get the job done. Since 1917, we've been your trusted partner in building dreams, from framing lumber to finished materials. When you work with Harbin, you're not just getting quality supplies, you're getting a team that's got your back. Visit one of our local lumber yards today, and let's build dreams together.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
Come support Grand Slam Ministries and our first ever fundraising dinner Monday night, October 13th, 6 p.m. at Utica Baptist Church in Seneca. Former Atlanta Braves Sid Bream of The Slide will be the keynote speaker. For information on the evening, including tickets or reserve tables, call 864-788-9596. That's 864-788-9596. Or go to danscottshow.org. That's Monday night, October 13th, 6 p.m. Thank you for supporting Grand Slam Ministries.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Sing my share of broken halos, broken wings that used to fly.
All right, final segment of the program. Thanks for joining us. Major League Baseball playoffs off to a great start, Ben. 1-1 in the seventh. We have both starting pitchers in the game. Riley Green just ripped the ball to right center field, and Detroit has a leadoff man at second base with nobody out. Again, under 6.5 is ludicrous, except in this matchup where neither team is getting anywhere near four runs.
You got to pull for the Guardians here, right?
I think so. Epic collapse of the Tigers. That would be the only reason. Like, the Tigers were the best team in the American League like a month ago, and they almost missed the playoffs.
Because I don't care about either one of these teams, but it's fun to pull for the underdog.
I do like that. I do like Cleveland. Cleveland, they were showing, if you like small market baseball, there are three teams. I saw this from somebody that they did the makeup of all the playoff rosters. Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Detroit are the three teams in the playoffs where 10 or more players were truly homegrown, either drafted, international signing, or undrafted free agents. Everybody else, single digits. Mostly, and that includes, like, trading guys as prospects, right? So it would be like, you know, it's not all that you signed 30 free agents or you traded for big leaguers. Some of it is you traded for this prospect and then they came through your organization. So it's a little misleading in that way. But those are the three organizations that truly, like, have drafted and developed and put their talent on the roster, which is interesting because none of those three teams are remotely close to being the favorites to win the World Series. This hour brought to you by our friends at Nick Lavery Law. You can get in touch with Nick if you need him. And listen, you very well may not need him today. But you likely will need them at some point because legal issues, man, they can pop up in a jiffy. And there's no question that there are lots of people who think, well, I can just sort of fake it till I make it, I'm innocent, all this kind of stuff. Look, you need representation. You need somebody who's going to fight for you. You cannot leave it up to chance, not in the legal system. You need Nick Lavery. Go online, Nick Lavery Law. Go to his website. See the services he gives you, the five-star reviews, the things that he's done for people. He knows the law. He's going to be on your side. NickLaveryLaw.com, 864-654-3680. Schedule a free consultation today, 864-654-3680. Or, again, visit online, NickLaveryLaw.com. Serving Clemson for a quarter century. First and third, nobody out. A weird deflected infield single for Detroit, and Cleveland is on the ropes with the Padres and the Cubs. Set to start in moments, Nick Pivetta and Matthew Boyd. How about this one from Matthew Boyd, Ben? Low strikeout pitcher Matthew Boyd, 12-1 with a 2.51 ERA at Wrigley Field this year. Matthew Boyd. It's tough when that's true and you pick the Padres to win the World Series. Tough mountain to climb there. Tough hill to climb with Matthew Boyd on the bump today. But we shall overcome, as they say, with the San Diego Padres. Couple things. Did you see the Big 12 fine Colorado? I just saw this.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't know anything about this.
They fined them $50,000 for basically a chant that they were doing, I guess the student section was doing.
It's got to be related to Mormons.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
I didn't even look to see what it was.
F the Mormons.
Well, that's not
nice.
No,
it is. That's not very nice. But also, though, why are we are they going to say when Iowa State goes in there and they say F the Cyclones? Are we going to do the same thing?
Do you know all the alternate lines to Dixieland Delight when Alabama plays that in their stadium?
I don't know, man. I've had a weird week with crowds and chants and stuff.
When did we start fining crowds for chants? I don't endorse that whatsoever. Saying that, and you know, I'm like, you can root for your team, root against another team without that. That's, we don't need that, but at the same time, should leagues be fining schools for that?
Ben, I said way worse stuff than that to Greg Paulus.
But he deserved it.
Yeah, that's true. And John Shire, by the way.
Definitely deserved
it. In 2009,
I would have given you money for doing
that. That was the only time that anyone at Clemson ever came up to, and I've worked at Clemson. I knew everybody in the athletic department. And an athletic department staffer came up to me and said, you're going to have to not say the stuff you're saying right now because I for sure don't want to make you leave. It's the only time that ever happened was at that Duke basketball, 74-47, Duke basketball game in 2009. Only time that ever happened. I was feeling myself that night, buddy. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, that was young Quark. That was a long time ago.
That was young Quark. How do you – okay, we haven't really talked about this. How do you feel about the crowd at the Ryder Cup? What are your thoughts on that? The whole kerfuffle there?
I think it is different when it's golf because it's the gentleman's game and you're respectful of everything. If that is a football game, I don't think we even blink. If that's a soccer match, if that's an international soccer match, you think something's wrong if those things aren't said and done. But it's golf, and that is different. I also don't think you can always go too far with this stuff. Personally, I was a not everybody will agree with this. I was a little embarrassed that the U.S. side of this encouraged it. And they encouraged it with the hype guys before the matches started, and they're almost telling people what to say or what the reports were.
Yeah, the first tee had to resign, like quit, because they were egging it on. Yeah.
I think that is extreme. Is it going to happen in 2 years? Yeah. It probably happens more than we realize. But it doesn't make it right. I think you can root for your country without crossing the line that way.
I agree with that.
Also, these European golfers are the same guys that you cheer for 2 weeks from now.
I saw
that's what like they're not.
Yes,
they're the enemy for a weekend, but they're not the enemy.
I saw a man on the street interview from a guy that was like, "Hey, so." Like, why is everybody being so mean to Rory, basically? And the guy's like, well, it's a sign of respect. We love him, except for this week. And I'm like, that is not what you do. That is not the kind of stuff you say to people that you love.
Yeah.
That is not how you communicate. I thought it was embarrassing that it got that personal. And also, by the way, this is not a moral distinction. It is just a pragmatic distinction. It didn't work. So it wasn't even worth it. It actually probably made it play a little better.
I think it probably backfired, actually.
I mean, that was part of the issue for me is like, hey, it's not working. And you know why it's not working? I actually think it played into the strength of the Europeans in the Ryder Cup, which is they play together in partner golf way better than the United States plays together. Like Rory McIlroy leaning on Shane Lowry during that round and Shane Lowry leaning on Rory McIlroy during that round. And Justin Rose, like a bat out of hell, just showing up and getting birdies and birdies and birdies and birdies all over the place and feeding off of each other and letting that energy sort of bind them together. I thought they handled that brilliantly. They're already better at that. But when you're getting like very personal, hurtful abuse, which I've seen some videos of, like, stuff that I would say, yeah, you shouldn't be saying that, especially to guys over his golf ball, you shouldn't be saying that. Like, it's just wrong. When it's binding the other team together, you have to be self-aware to be like, that's not working right now.
Yeah, I just think they went too far. And I was just thinking, you know, in the Olympics, you have NBA players play for other countries, you know, for their home countries. I don't root against those guys. Like, I don't hate those players. Well, I mean, some of them I do. But, I mean, I hate them when they're on the NBA also.
Texture comes in and says it's New York. We've gotten some of that. Like, it's just what happens when you go to New York. And I guess that's probably true. I've had a lot – there have been a lot of weird critiques of this. Like, well, this is what happens when Trump's the president. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I don't think it has anything to do with that at all.
I don't think the White House was calling the shots on that.
I don't think so. I don't think Donald Trump was leading the chance. He was there. He could have, but he wasn't. I also think that this is a creation of social media where, like, I saw people the first tee at Hazeltine. Everyone's waving flags, chanting USA, USA. No one has a phone out. Like 10, 12 years ago, no one has a phone out. Now everybody has a phone out. So, like, there are people – there was a guy that actually called Rory a disgusting derogatory term, and Rory had him kicked out. He posted it online. So, like, not only is it, like, disgusting behavior, but people think that it's worthy of posting online when they say it. It's just a – it is a demoralization of sports fandom, I think, that it – to bring it back around, it's not helped when you fine schools for chants like that. Like, that's a weird standard, you know?
Yeah.
But we do – I think we need to be better. As a sport, I was embarrassed because the team was embarrassed. The United States team was embarrassed while the fans were being embarrassing.
Yeah.
It was a horrible day for American sports.
And on the BYU-Colorado thing, I'm fine with wanting to clean that up. At the same time, I'm just not sure that's the place of the conference to do it.
Right. It feels like they're babysitting BYU because of the faith of the school, and that. It feels like they're very much babysitting BYU.
Yeah,
from,
it just
from
you
that
know,
extent.
You can go too far. It starts feeling like big government when you do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Texter does say he's with me on Paulus. He says Greg Paulus is a war criminal, so he deserved it.
I'll allow that.
I mean, it's fair. It's unbelievable. So anyway, we didn't really talk about that yesterday. I'm not as down on the United States team based on the way they played Sunday, but I thought the way they played Sunday is I expected more of that during the week because they had objectively better golfers on their team.
We'll have to talk more about this later. In hindsight, I think I have more issue with the construction of the team than anything. And, like, I'm neutral on Bryson DeChambeau, for instance. If anything, I mean, I kind of like the guy. He is an attention whore.
He's your live redemption story, right?
He's my olive branch to the live. But at the same time, when you are constructing a team that is all about camaraderie and familiarity, why are you taking a guy who plays completely different than everybody else and is not on your tour? Why are you putting him on the team?
It's a great point. It's a great point. Yeah, we need to talk about that. We need to talk about the team construction. Let's do that tomorrow live from Estes.
I can't wait
for that.
At the first bite of the pie.
The first bite of the pizza, man, right there. Right there on the way to Walhalla. Hey,
it's up to you to find us. I mean, we can't draw you a picture.
It's right there. There's no better way than that. Texter said it's like the guy flipping off Castellanos with a phone on the field storming.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, that's a single idiot in that case.
Right. That's where, like, I think we should make exceptions. Like, you should get punched in the face for that.
Yeah.
Like, Thomas Castellanos, I understand, like, we say words are not violence and this kind of stuff. We say that all the time. Well, sticks and stones can break my bones. You know what else breaks a bone? A fist.
Yeah.
A fist breaks a bone. Sometimes people
sling in a helmet.
Listen, people that say words need to feel what getting punched in the face feels like. Especially if you're going to flick a guy. Like, you flip Thomas Castellanos off. I watched that happen when they panned to him. T- Thomas Castellanos needs a medal. Like the
great
the fact
restraint.
That, the fact that he didn't go at that guy, he literally, like, his body didn't even tense. He didn't do anything to that guy. I was like, God, give this guy poured his soul out on this field only for this Bozo the Clown, who probably showed up 10 minutes before from the bars, rushing the field, and doing that, I would have had a real hard time holding back. Real hard time holding back on that. Detroit, by the way, takes the lead on a squeeze play, Ben. First
squeeze.
And third, nobody out. Playoff baseball. National League baseball in the American League. Give me a squeeze play. Moving the runners. We love it. Our Reds play at 9:08. I'm going to be so caffeinated by that point.
Whew.
I probably won't sleep tonight. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow from Estes. Walt's up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all